I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Love this bonus episode of Born Offside. We've got a returning guest, Aaron Evans. Mate, can I say the reaction to the last time? I thought it was recent. You were telling me it's been over a year, maybe close to 2 years.
It has.
But it was such a good reaction to that episode, because we speak to A-League footballers, we speak to footballers that have been in Europe. Your pathway in football has been so different to the traditional one. So I'm glad that you're back, because last time we were chatting, you had a successful season in Indonesia. You'd just been signed by this big, exciting club, and you were going back to Indonesia. And then it was a whirlwind after that. What happened?
Firstly, thank you for having me back. No worries, it's good to see both of you. I've missed it. Yeah. So it's glad that you guys brought me back on. Football is, and I will always say this, is the most craziest sport in the world.
Yeah.
As I was on here last time and I was telling you how excited I was, new opportunity, new club. I didn't obviously announce the club, but you guys would have seen it. But obviously the club that I signed for was Persis Solo. So a little bit of history on them. The president of the country of Indonesia, their son is the owner of the football club.
Right.
So massive, massive club. Like, whatever you need, whoever they want.
Is this like a crazy club? Like, because I know some of the Indonesian clubs got massive fans that do some crazy ass shit.
Yeah.
Is this one of them?
This is ginormous.
Yeah, so you're thinking, like, if I'm also not performing to the level that they are expecting and what you're wanting for yourself because you're in a new position, they're not going to know exactly why that is.
Exactly. And they had, like, as in the outside or even the inside, like, let's say the management or, you know, the hierarchies, they knew of my ability. They knew what I'd done previously, but they'd seen that all as a central defender. So they moved me, or the coach moved me, to right back, where I did predominantly of preseason, the preseason cup, and even the first game of the season. That was my position I was playing. Like, that was my new role in the team. And to be fair, it's not my number one position, but I didn't look like a donor. I wasn't like I was the one that was causing any problems.
Yeah.
Obviously, I have a personality, I have a voice, I have a character, which a foreigner should, I believe. But yeah, just through that whole process.
But that's it. You played one game?
One game.
And then what? They flicked you?
They flicked me. So the game comes, right? My girlfriend flies over from Australia to the game.
Yeah.
Bring her along. It was in some remote city.
Yeah.
So weaved our way there. We got there, got into the stadium, match day. We ended up drawing the game. I think it was 1-1 or 2-2. I scored an own goal from a corner. Ball comes in, players coming across. I go to head it. It comes off the back of my head. Top bins. It was decent. Like, if it was down that down end, the other end,
you take your shirt off.
My shirt's off.
Yeah.
But to be fair, it was like, it just happened. Like,
yeah, like, it's one of those.
Those
spoke about Matip
those
last
are the
week.
Ones that just happened.
Yeah.
And then, that obviously went in. We didn't win the game. So I was obviously playing as a right back, didn't win the game. And then after the game, like, nothing was said. Yeah. It was like ghost town from the coaching staff, from the management, from everybody who's involved in the club who, you know, is meant to support us foreigners, ghost town.
Yeah.
And I was like, weird.
I've heard stories in these countries in Asia that, like, you know, you go over there and, like, sometimes the money's pretty good, the support, everything's good, but they can be really like, you make one mistake and you're out, and like not and the contracts, like, they don't mean anything. They can just rip up a contract and there's nothing you can do. Is that what happened?
Exhibit A right here. Right. So that did happen to me. Exactly that.
For an own goal.
What's your, like, living situation when they cut you from the team?
So they obviously put you up in an apartment or a house of your choice. They give you a car, they give you a translator if you need a translator.
They've taken care of your entire existence, right?
And they obviously sign a lease for, because I was living in an apartment, they sign a lease for a year. they get a car for a year. So everything's contracted like it is in your contract.
Right.
I was contracted for a year, not one game.
Yeah.
So I didn't think it was that bad.
Yeah.
I go to training on the following day. Nothing was said at all.
Okay.
Coach didn't acknowledge me, like as in nothing was said of the game.
Right.
Just went on to training as usual. I thought, okay, we've got another game in 4 days.
Yeah.
Away game. Like, let's go. Mm. Time to get better. Time to improve myself.
Mm.
And then throughout, we had two training sessions leading up to before we had to travel. So obviously not much time to do like tactical things or prepare for the next opponent. But during those two sessions, like I felt something was off.
Mm.
Like we did tactical things and I was put with players who were not also in the starting 11.
I'm not going to play,
I was like, interesting. So he pulls me aside and he goes, the president doesn't want you in the team anymore. Bombshell.
Mm.
And I was like, what?
Now, this is the president who is also the son of the actual nation's
president.
Yes. Okay, right. So basically the country, the yeah. elite of the country just literally. No longer wants you to play. Literally. You can't even do nothing at that point, bro.
And when you're hearing it from like that perspective that you explain it, that's exactly how I took it in my head.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, the country doesn't want
me. Well, you're powerless in that situation, literally. Man.
Who am I? To a leader of a country.
Yeah.
What am I going to say to a leader of a country, son?
Right, an own goal made parliament. That's probably, you know, that's insane.
Madness.
That's insane.
So that's a tough day at work for you, Aaron.
Mm.
That was the toughest day at work. Yeah. Because going on from that, I obviously didn't travel.
Mm.
Then I didn't also know my place in the team anymore.
Yeah.
I went away again, radio silence. I was getting in contact with an agent, a manager, the coach, everybody, nothing.
Mm. Mm.
And this went on for 3 or 4 weeks.
Right.
And then while they were away, I got informed, you're not coming to training.
Right.
You're not allowed to come to training.
Right.
So I was basically imprisoned in my apartment.
Right.
It was insane.
Right. But,
and I didn't know what was going on.
Right.
Tried to call my agent, tried to call the manager of the team, you name it.
Right.
Tried to get in contact with them, nothing.
Wow.
So, you know, mentally, that obviously plays a massive part on you as well.
Yeah.
And in my career, I've obviously been doing this for 10 years.
Mm.
I've never had an experience like this before.
Yeah.
I've always either seen out my contract or I've decided if I wanted to leave.
Mm.
So this was a completely new experience for me. It was mind-blowing.
Yeah.
I thought my football career is over.
Yeah.
I thought, what am I going to do now? Yeah. Like, it was madness, proper mad. Anyway, after about 3 or 4 weeks of radio silence, we started going back and forth because obviously they wanted to get rid of me like permanently so they could bring somebody else in.
Mm.
And I was fine with that. Like if they wanted me to go, I also wanted to go at that point.
Yeah.
I also wanted to.
Can you get like paid out at that point?
So the way it works in Asia, this is where it gets very technical because they don't care about contracts, as you said. They don't care if it's a year, 2 years. They'll rip it up in your face and go, here's your ticket, go home.
Yeah.
And that's what I was frustrated or curious about as well, because I was like, shit, I've signed a year contract here. Like I've made plans for being here, like getting this income. So I said to my agent, I'm not settling for anything less than the whole contract. Like if they want me gone,
pay me out.
100%. They come back and go, nah, we'll give him 2 months. I go, no, you're giving me 12 months or I'll go to FIFA. They go, nah, we'll give you 40%. I was like, no. Then obviously, because the way the Australian system works, the PFA, blah, 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 I got in contact with them because obviously they sound more professional than just coming from an agent.
Yeah.
Because, you know, agents, the country you're in can be dodgy, cannot be, blah, blah, blah. So I got PFA involved. So I got them to write up a letter for me, kind of like to threaten to the club, because I was at a point of like, I wanted them to feel like they did wrong. So I got all that sorted, sent it across to them, and they were like, yep, done, deal. Signed it. I signed it as well. Got on a plane back to Australia, and we agreed that it would be 3 payments.
Right.
So I have to say thank you to them because they made the 3 payments on the day.
Yeah.
Worked out for me in that end.
Look at the president's money, right?
Yeah.
That kind of money is probably nothing to
them. But
so,
that's good. That's
so
good.
So I signed the paper that whatever day. The next day, they brought in a new player.
Mm.
So they had to pay me out and just brought in another player for 12 months again.
Mm.
So clearly money was not an issue for this club, which is
gosh.
Insane. So it happens at a lot of these places. More money than brain with people that just go, you know what I mean? I want a football club, but then they don't really know how to run it or what they're doing, you know? But then you ended up in the Indian Super League, which, I mean, I got to say, my knowledge is not bad of Asian football, but it's not brilliant. But I would say the Indian Super League's a better league. Is it not?
I 100% agree with
you. Yeah, because there's a lot of, like, I hear a lot of big players going to the Indian Super League. Yeah. A lot of Aussies are there. We've got 9 Aussies that's just started the season there.
Yep.
So there's plenty playing in there. You rock up. How'd you get that move? Like,
so I came back to Australia, and like I said, I thought my world was over.
Mm.
It was middle of the season. It was October going into November. Mm. Foreign time for me as well to be back in Australia.
Because you've been playing at that time forever, right?
Always. I was never in Australia, so I was clueless on what was going on. I was just here at home in Sydney, got a call from a random agent. Didn't know him before, knew nothing of him, and he calls me, goes, are you interested in going to India? Mind you, the league started in 10 days.
Right.
Story of my career.
Yeah,
anyway, he goes, are you interested? I had nothing at the time. My mentality, I was like, 100%. If you get me through the pre-contract, whatever, I can be on the plane tomorrow.
Mm.
He goes, all right, done. Leave it with me 24 hours. Mm. The next morning, comes back with a full contract. Not even a pre-contract, a full contract, 35, 36 pages. He goes, here, sign it. Signed it, sent it back to the club. And then now this is where the fireworks happen because you need to go get your visa. You need to do this, you need to do that. And the league was starting in 10 days.
Yeah, right.
So I was obviously over the moon that I was getting back into football. It was fantastic. I was still fit. So that wasn't an issue as well. But mind you, I had absolutely no idea on India as a country.
Yeah.
No idea Indian football, nothing. So obviously I do my research. I'm sitting at home with the missus. We're obviously on Google. And Google lies, man. I'll tell you. Google's a liar.
Don't ever...
Believe Google.
Yeah.
So I typed in the place that I was going to. It's called Guwahati.
Mm.
So it's right up north, close to Pakistan.
Yeah.
Right.
So for any of you cricketers that listen, a lot of the cricketers, like the country is Australia, blah, 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 play international cricket in Guwahati.
Right.
It's renowned for cricket for whatever reason. But anyway, oh, I searched Google. I was like, oh, yeah. It's manageable, as in I can live there. Like, it can't be that bad.
Mm.
Mind you, though, it was not like Google.
Really? It was bad, huh?
Not like Google. It was an eye-opener.
Right.
It was just something else.
But they put you up in a place and everything?
Beautiful place.
Okay, all right.
So in terms of India as a whole, like the football-wise, it's probably the best football league I've played in my career.
Oh, okay.
The quality of...
Because before Indonesia, you were in Thailand?
Thailand.
Yeah.
Thailand.
Right.
And then I was in Hong Kong.
Right, okay.
But for me, the quality of the local players, and this is obviously what raises the bar in the country for the league, the quality of the local players was extremely impressive.
Mm.
Wow.
They actually took football as their job. They took football as their passion.
Right.
And you could see it in training sessions. You could see it outside of training sessions, you know, when you got a personal life. And then you could also see it on match day.
Mm.
And then when you bring in quality foreign players, you bring in quality foreign coaches, that obviously heightens the level of the league.
Any big, like, superstars there when you were there?
Not superstars.
No.
Not because
there was a period where they were bringing in, like,
they had marquee player rule. They obviously had Tim Cahill. They had all of that during the COVID period.
Matarazzi was there.
That's probably the biggest names I've associated with it.
Yeah.
Like Del Piero was there as well.
That's right. Del Piero went as well. Yep. Yeah. Cannavaro was coaching a team or something. Yep. There's a lot of Italians that rocked up at one point. Yeah.
Wow. So prior to COVID and during COVID was when they were really investing in the league. Right. And then obviously after, as everywhere around the world did, they were playing a little bit of catch up.
Yeah.
Mm.
But in saying that, what, they just signed Jason Cummings for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over a million. So
yeah, right.
I will confirm that there is money in the country, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I believe they spend it better. They have more of a knowledge on football, and it's not just, you know, I'll bring in any player and just like Indonesia, for example, you get one shot.
Mm-hmm.
There it's...
Well, they understand the game. They know you need time to acclimatize.
Exactly.
And I always wonder, like, how do you have a billion people and you're not making World Cups?
They're the most populated country in the world.
Why can't they make a World Cup?
They've overtaken China.
What's wrong with them?
They're not investing right.
Is that what it is?
You know what it is? It's the youth system.
Right.
And I said this usually last time I was there. I was on the pod about Indonesia. Mm. They had none of it.
Mm.
In India, they have it, but they don't invest in it.
Right.
That's
right.
the issue.
Right.
So you've got young, talented kids that are playing on horse paddocks.
Yeah, right.
That don't even have boots to wear.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that don't have that system.
Mm.
So by the time they get to the first team, they just get brushed off for whether it's recycled locals or the height, like the jump from semi-professional to professional is too big for them and they just get swept under the rug.
Mm. Who would be the most famous Indian football player?
So he's a guy called Sunil Chhetri, plays for Bengaluru.
Right.
Also the captain of the Indian national team. He's, okay. I'm pretty sure he's the third highest goal scorer at international level in the history.
For any team?
For any team.
He just bags him for India.
Yeah. That's pretty sure he's the third highest in history.
Mm.
Well, there you go.
So up with, we're talking Ronaldo level.
And Iranian Ali Day, whatever, and then probably him.
That's where we're
talking. There's a lot of Asian players that bag a lot of goals for those countries because they play a lot of games in the AFC.
They do.
Heaps of games. But your team didn't do too well.
Struggled to.
Yeah.
Struggled.
But that's, I guess, is that just a testimony to the rest of the league?
Yeah, it's a testimony to the rest of the league, but I think it also showcase and has to highlight the club in itself.
Right.
Like, I'm a perfect example. I came in 10 days before the league started.
Bit chaotic.
It was all over the place.
Yeah.
And then foreign players they brought in, majority of them left the first moment they could.
Yeah.
We had 3 or 4 different coaching changes. I was told prior to going there that I wouldn't see a minute the whole time I was there.
Mm.
Within the first game, I didn't. The second game, I came on in the last 15. The third game, I played 75 minutes, and then I ended up being the player with the most minutes in the whole team.
Yeah, so it was just shambles.
It was all over the place. It was madness.
Fuck, man, Asian football.
I know.
It's just like, I love talking to players. I know a lot of players as well that do that whole thing where they go from, I mean, you left quite young. A lot of players that go from NPL and are struggling maybe to get into that A-League, they decide to go to Hong Kong, they decide to go to Thailand. And the stories of someone playing in Singapore, the stories they come back with, you just don't hear of in Europe, eh? Like, it's just mental.
I feel like there's a level of, I mean, you're talking about the lifestyle, like that kind of chaotic nature.
Yep.
You kind of see hints of it in a few things. Like, I know when I was traveling with Mark Schwarzer for the World Cup, overnight his son signed for the Indonesian League as a goalkeeper there.
Okay.
But like seeing kind of Schwarzy, who is somewhat of his manager to an extent,
you
know, he reads all the contracts. He's the most supportive football father you've ever seen in your life. It was interesting seeing him go through that from the contractual side, seeing the last minute nature of it all. Like, oh, they're playing on Saturday. They're signing Julian on like Wednesday. He still has to pass his physical
on
Thursday or Friday. And he was in Malaysia, so he had to fly. Like, it was just this chaotic nature of it all.
Sounds like the story of my life.
Yeah, it's mental, eh?
It is.
But I mean, some of the,
it's
as
cool.
I said,
like, it's exciting. It's like, exciting. Like, I'm sure Julian's playing so well over there. They're having a great time. And I know you enjoyed your time. Like in the years that you were in Indonesia leading up to that
fandom,
Percy solo time.
This is the thing. It's like,
you can't deny
the
that.
The A-League is a very good quality league. I think the football you see in the A-League is of a high standard. Yes. Unfortunately, we don't have tens of thousands of chaotic, passionate fans rocking up to every game. That's all we're missing. The football-wise is there. But then you've got countries where the football wouldn't be anywhere near. However, you've got the fandom and that's fun, man. That's the experience of being a footballer, right?
Yeah.
And that's why also most footballers, if they can, want to experience abroad. Mm. Or now Asia is such a good pathway because, for example, they see me, a Canberra boy born and bred, go over to a place like Indonesia and become an overnight superstar playing in front of 80,000 people.
Mm.
Like, that's exciting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's more exciting? Doing that, okay, it's obviously less technical. It's everything comes at you so quickly.
Mm.
But what's the difference? And you obviously got to ask yourself, from playing here to playing there, is that what's more exciting?
Yeah.
When you weigh it up,
depends
on what kind of person you are.
Yeah.
What depends
you're looking
on your,
for, right?
Exactly, your ability as well. But if you obviously want that, I guess, lifestyle, the fame, the fans, the passionate, everything that goes on every single day, that is the place to be.
Yeah.
Like, what's going to entice you here in the A-League?
Yeah.
it's difficult.
Yeah, yeah. Unless you
added the fans.
If you start killing it and you and it equals a Socceroos call up, that's different.
Of course.
But if you're just kind of a rotational player in the A League, you're not getting that fandom.
100%.
Because like even away from football, like I've seen you, you've done obviously a good job of your social media and all the rest and brand deals, and you're at we saw each other at an event recently.
Yeah, you can tell. We obviously meet a lot of athletes and people working in this space. Like to really be so conscious of how to build your brand and like market yourself, because you said that fandom and that fame that you got in Indonesia, like how do you then translate that to an Australian audience? And how do you, because Indonesia's, we're not necessarily watching the league, but like we know your name because you've marketed yourself and you've found a way to like break into the conversation here as well.
That's the thing, A-League footballers aren't considered the cool people.
Mm.
That's the problem in Australia, right? Like there's A-League footballers with like a couple hundred followers and they're not, you know, people will pass them on the street, don't know who they are.
Yeah, but like when you compare them to like, you know, the following that some NRL players have.
NRL, AFL,
crazy, yeah, right?
It doesn't compare.
It's different.
Yeah, it's probably sad to see for you coming from, because you know how good these A-League players are.
Of course.
You know they probably should have a platform, but they don't.
Yeah, it is hard, but look, it's kind of also them not taking advantage of the situation. Yeah.
Right.
Like at the end of the day, social media is so big now and everybody is on it. So I was in the same case as well. I was obviously over in Indonesia, and when I come back to Australia, I was obviously a nobody. I was one of those A-League boys walking down the street and people were like, didn't know who I was.
Yeah.
Yet I played a week ago in front of a sold out stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that burnt me a little bit.
Yeah.
And I was like, hold on. Like, how can I get a name here in Australia as well as a name in Indonesia?
Mm.
Like, don't get me wrong. I love coming back to Australia previously and being a nobody, because obviously my hectic like over there. But the kind of person, the kind of mindset I have, I was like, you know what? My life is Australia. I am Australian.
Mm.
I want to create a name in Australia as well as overseas.
You want to feel recognized for what you've done here as well.
Of course, because if I was to just come back and retire without making a name for myself, like nothing comes of it. Whereas, so what I did was I obviously went back overseas and I was like, okay, so how do I make a name for myself? So obviously I look through social media, I ask people that I know, and I'm like, okay, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to be more on socials, you know, I need to be more of myself, I need to do things in Australia to, you know, get that Australian audience so that they're curious about me.
Mm.
I need to...
Do you reckon social media can land you football gigs?
100%.
Yeah? Like you reckon you can get a contract based on your following and
100%.
People... Yeah?
I mean, 100%. To be fair, we were talking about this in our previous episode of Born Offside. I know it's David Beckham.
Yep.
But, like, we also touched on how him playing or signing for Real Madrid, a huge part of that was the fandom, the fame that he brought to that team.
Mm.
Like, you can see why it would be like that for some players.
Do you reckon that's like... Because I look at Jason Cumings, right? Yep. He's just gone to India. And to be fair, he's bagging goals, right?
Yeah.
But
he had that.
Like, like, it... I always thought, I like Jason Cummings. I think he's a great player, but I always thought like he probably made that Socceroos squad very much on hype.
100%.
Because like the moment he came 100%. Here and he was funny 100%. And he was posting funny shit and he was doing crazy shit, everyone was like, cap the cum dog. That was the trending hashtag. And Graham Arnold called him in. Now, even though he was a rotational striker, there probably could have been some young strikers that had a chance at that spot. He got picked probably because of that, right?
I 100% agree.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he does have technical, tactical... Yeah. Can bang in a goal, but I agree. He was picked based on who he is, an individual.
Yeah.
And even you see it all the time, and especially I do, obviously being in Asia, footballing ability can only get you so far.
Mm.
But social media skills, social media awareness can get you so much further.
It goes to show how similar like it is to other jobs though.
Yeah.
You know, like your image is so important and it follows you around. The way that you present yourself, the image that you create, that's your story.
There you go.
That means you got to get more on socials.
I wish I found
it. I mean, you're doing all right.
I know. Yeah. Keep going.
But maybe this is where we say, Claude, who's going to sign you next? Yeah, are you?
What, football-wise?
Yeah.
Nah.
Put it out there.
These old legs, mate.
Getting back into it.
These old legs. Nah.
Say, look at me. Look at what I'm doing. Who's the biggest club that would sign Claudio Fabiano?
Nah.
You interested in coming to Asia?
Why not? Maybe years ago. Maybe pre all the bloody surgeries and stuff. Maybe I would have considered it. But
I'm thinking of moving over to a Saudi side. in the women's.
Yeah. I want to present in Saudi Arabia.
I just want to do one play year. Make
Let's all Let's go. All there, go. We go. There we go. That's
get on the plane tomorrow. Let's go. No, I'd love to.
Yeah. What's the next step for you?
Saudi Arabia.
That is. I wish I could sit here right now and say, I'm just going to go play with, you know, you might know them like Ronaldo.
I know. Neymar. Yeah.
But no, next steps for me, obviously I've taken an extra period of time off. I've had a longer off season. And the reason is, like you just touched on, more the social media side.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because I came back to Australia. I was obviously physically and mentally exhausted from being in India. It took a toll. As it does, being abroad always does. But while I was over there, I just woke up and had a realization that football obviously isn't forever. Yeah. I'm only in this for a short period of time. Mm. Mm. And I think most of this dwelled from the experience that I had in Indonesia.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, you know what? Like, what am I going to do when football's all over? Mm. And I had no idea.
Mm.
Like, I left school young and I was like, shit, what happens if I get injured? Or, for example, I don't get the next contract. Mm. Like, what do I do?
Mm.
So I've spent the last 3 or 4 months working on life after football.
Mm.
I've obviously got a few things in the works that I'm working on, which I can obviously announce in the near future, which is exciting.
Yeah.
But I've spent my time working on life after football.
Mm. Are you thinking here? Or are you thinking back in Asia? Another adventure.
I want to go on an adventure. Yeah, I'm an adventurous man. Right. I'm the unknown man still. Yeah, yeah. Obviously, I have a partner, but she wants me gone as well, like in the good way.
Brilliant. Yeah.
She is my biggest supporter. So she, like, obviously, if you get in a relationship, you never know how it's going to go. Yeah. She allows me to be away.
Yeah, yeah,
it works
yeah.
for both of us. Yeah. So I want to be away.
Yeah,
like, I'll obviously make the decision for myself.
You know what? Born Offside is a very we go. I was listening to our pod back last week. I was driving today and I was laughing at because we start talking football and then we end up going on a mad tangent. Yeah. Last week we were talking relationships with Olan, and Olan was saying about, you know, marriage and this and that, and whether these. I want to bring up long distance for you. You're a great person to comment on this. Are there positives in a long distance relationship?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I believe, like, obviously it comes down to the individual.
Yeah.
But I believe it keeps you more focused on what you're there to do.
Mm.
For example, if you're single, you're in a foreign country, football is your job.
Mm.
There's other trinkets that come along with it.
Yeah.
The nightlife.
Yeah.
The women.
Yeah.
The cars, the trinkets,
all the stuff
everything.
I alluded to in literally. Our previous episode.
100%, bro. But when you're playing in Indonesia.
You have a partner like that you're obviously in love with and you want to spend your life with them, they kind of are your reason to focus.
Yeah, right.
They force you to rest.
Right.
They forced you to, you know, stay at home because obviously you have to be on FaceTime. You have to put in the hours because we're not physically there.
Yeah,
so you don't obviously have that physical connection. So you need to have that emotional connection. So that's time consuming. And as a footballer, footballers don't usually like to rest too much. Mm. We're obviously high on adrenaline. We're always on our feet. We're active people. So we always want to be out and about. Whereas a partner kind of recovers you in that way.
Yeah, right.
So I 100% support it.
Yeah.
But then the other perk of it, like, my missus comes over and sees me every couple of weeks, 4 or 5 weeks. The longest we've gone apart is probably 7 weeks.
Right.
Wanted to rip each other's heads off.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's hard. I'm not sitting here saying it's easy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really hard.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway.
But you'd make the most of when you see them, though.
It's like a brand new relationship.
Yeah.
It's like you're meeting again for the first time.
Yeah,
it's the best thing in the world.
Yeah,
so she'll come, that's cute. You're really selling the long distance.
That is gorgeous.
I swear to you. So she'll come over for like two weeks and it's like that honeymoon phase again.
Yeah.
And then she'll disappear for a few weeks and you're like you get so eager to see her, or, you know, you get back to having your own time, and then you see her again and it's like that 2 weeks of happiness, and then she's gone.
Yeah, it's like you're simultaneously learning how to be independent and live on your own and do your thing, but also fostering a really nice relationship with someone. And
exactly,
like, you have that opportunity to constantly miss them.
Absolutely.
And then get them back and then miss them again.
Exactly.
And like, that would be, you know, those are the nicest
and you know
things
what
about
well?
Seeing someone.
What do you got?
Phone sex is cracker, by
absolutely.
Phone sex is cracker,
it's fun.
Bro. It
it's
is
fun.
So underrated.
It's something else, but
yeah, 100%.
Like, it's cool. Like, I didn't know
fair enough
what goes on.
I
had no idea.
Yeah. What do you reckon? Those four nations, I mean, this is pretty easy, but first one to make a World Cup?
That's a good question.
Thailand.
Really? I thought you would have said India.
No.
Thailand will make a World Cup before India?
Yeah.
You,
I think Thailand
think
have
doing,
a better
chance.
They're
investing the right way?
I think they do.
Right.
Why I say that, I always speak on it, the development of the youth. Yeah, okay. They have it.
Yes.
They to have be fair, it. I've seen our youth teams go over there and really struggle.
Yeah. I was going to say, in the women's too, I mean, like, yeah. they're showing a lot of improvement.
Mm. Yeah. Got you there, didn't I?
You did get you. I thought you were going to say India. Yeah, exactly right.
But
yeah.
It goes back to what he said. They're not investing in the right way in those youth levels.
Like, they have talent in the senior, like the senior players of the team, you know, the known ones.
Yeah.
But you need backups. You need 30, 40 players coming through to even make them get to a next level. They're not. They're too comfortable.
Yeah.
I want to ask you a question too.
Yep.
In terms of, we're talking India, because like I am really fascinated by this league and like you said, you know, 1 billion people.
Mm.
We don't really see any of those names in the Premier League, in La Liga, you know, and if they are there, I'm sorry, I don't know who they are.
Yep.
Who is a couple, if there's one or two names to you that were like standout names in the Football League over there that you think could make it internationally?
Local players?
Yeah.
There is a guy called Sahal. Obviously you guys won't know him. He was at a club last season, was kind of a fringe player, started some, didn't start, moved to a new club this season, and now he's just turned into himself.
Right. Yeah.
Like he's always found obviously had it. So if he continues the way he's obviously started his form at the start, I see him progressing 100%.
Sahal. Okay.
And then there is a boy that I played with in my team. He's 19 years old. His name's Pragyan Gogoi. This kid is talented. Yeah. He's a striker, 19 years old, plays in like the youth national teams for India. Amazing talent. Like this guy hits bangers, bro. Like top bins. First four games of the season, scored every goal. Every game.
Yeah.
And scored top bins every single one.
Yeah. And we'll go to Europe, you reckon?
100%.
That's what they're missing, Indian players. Yeah,
I took him under my wing when I was there. Because, you know, I took a fancy to him, as in I knew that he could progress. So I actually ended up rooming with him for a majority of the period, which is also quite unknown.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, like I gave him the advice of, you know, keep your head on the ground, blah, blah, blah. Just keep working and all that kind of stuff. And he's going well. And I even said it on a post-match interview with Eric Partaloo, who's obviously another Aussie.
Yeah, that's right.
Because he works over there. And I said, this kid is going to do things. Like, mark my words.
Mm.
I said it then and I continue to say it now. This kid is...
So Partaloo's doing media there, huh?
He is.
Would you do that?
100%.
You do media?
Look at me. I'm confident.
You should. Yeah, you should.
You love it.
Yeah.
Kat love
said it the other day.
You're a natural. I was interviewing Aaron at the EA sports event.
Right, yeah.
And like he was just such a natural. You're
made
just
for the camera.
Giving the exact answers that we knew the sponsors wanted.
Yeah, he knows
just
it.
Just in every point.
I have to thank my missus for that.
Yeah. Because media trained you.
100%.
Yeah, you need to, bro. It's
what
so
to
important.
Say,
so
where to look.
100%.
How to use your hands, not sound like a robot.
Yeah. It's very important. Last one I wanted to ask. Okay, I know you said Saudi Arabia, so I'm not even going to ask you where you want to play next. But if your next club was an A-League one, which one would you want to play for right now? Because the A-League's about to start next week.
Good question. Well, I actually went to watch the Australia Cup final.
Yeah.
Most recently. I would want to play for Melbourne City.
Okay.
Obviously, the pathway they have.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer. But also the quality of the players they have on the books.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, want to be at the best possible club with the best possible players. And also to challenge myself, you know.
Yeah.
I'd say that. Yeah. Beautiful place to live.
Awesome. Yeah, a bit better than where you were living in India.
Oh, hands down, mate. Hands
we keep
down.
Getting hints of what it was like.
Yeah, when we cut the pod, we'll hear what it was actually really like. No, I love it, mate. Always a pleasure to hear from you.
No, thank you.
Thank
Best
you,
of luck
Aaron.
With the next step, man.
Thank you. Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.